When I agreed to do this service, I knew that Dave Stasich and Harold were also to participate this month. And we had to submit our program to him, to Steve, so that he could put it in bulletins before he went away on holiday. So I had some clue as to what Harold was going to preach on, and David as well. I thought, Harold's preaching on discernment, and if you like, the tests of the Spirit. And then Dave's first sermon was on grace. And what could I preach in between David's sermon on grace and his sermon on faith? What exactly would I do? I sure hoped that I could find something to do. And the Lord said, okay, David, let's talk about hope. It's not something we usually talk about as hope. We usually hope about other things. Today I'd like to talk about hope. I'd like to begin with a poem. It's written by Cindy Wyatt. Cindy's not a theologian, but she's a Christian woman who loves to collect and write poems about Jesus. You can find her poems on the internet. Listen. How wonderful it is to have an unshakable hope when going through the trials and tribulations that are life, it's our life-giving rope. Without hope in God, where would our lives be? They would be like a wandering ship lost at sea. When our heart is aching in the midst of the darkest night, hope comes shining forth like a bright and glorious light. Without hope, we would be lost in an ocean of despair. But God gives us his word and assures us that he's always there. When trouble is all around and our dreams seem to shatter, it is then that we find that love, faith, and hope are the things that really matter. God will never fail us, no matter what we face. We will always be met with our need for his sustaining grace. Hope is the only thing to cling to when we don't understand. Jesus is always there to take us by the hand. Without hope, we would have no choice. We would have no place to go. But resting in Jesus' promises, we rejoice in the blessings that flow. Now, I hope that fills up your hope just a little bit this morning. Just a little. Let me, if not yet, let's try again. This time, let me read a poem by the psalmist. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He who keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is the shade upon thy right hand. The sun will not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thee, thy going out and thy coming in from this day forth and even forevermore. Now, wow, that's hope. And I hope it's filled you right up to here. Now, the Lord gives us two ways to think about hope. Hope for and hope in. For and in. Perhaps I can illustrate it. They're both wonderful gifts from God, and perhaps I can illustrate it with a story from the New Testament, from Luke. Luke 18, beginning to read at verse 35. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked, "What is happening?" They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy upon me. Son of David, have mercy upon me. Jesus stopped. He ordered the man brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, What do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. Jesus said to him, Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Now this man, Mark calls him Bartimaeus, is blind and survives by begging. When he hears that Jesus is passing by, he calls Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Not preacher, have mercy upon me, or teacher, have mercy upon me, not even rabbi or priest, but Son of David, Messiah, have mercy upon me. He tells Jesus that he hopes for his sight. He hopes in Jesus that Jesus can and will help him. His hope in Jesus is justified. Well, do you have the hope of Cindy Wyatt or the psalmist or the hope of blind Bartimaeus? Do you have unshakable hope? Well, the answer is, I hope, isn't it? That's why we keep coming every week. However, when you talk to young people who have stopped coming to church, they tell you that it is this hope that they've lost. They don't know how to find it. They just don't believe it anymore. Some young adults with young families are often keen to begin with, but gradually their hope fades and they cease to be involved. They have lost hope and they don't know why. Let me share a story with you. When I was growing up, Tom and I were best friends. We went to Sunday school together, we went to the church service together, and sometimes we skipped the church service together. Every Tuesday night, we went target shooting at the Calgary Rifle Club. Thursday night, to Boy Scouts at the church scout troop. We loved to hike and camp together. We loved to think and talk and wonder about God and religion. Now, First Baptist Church in Calgary was a big church with hundreds of members. So we had a large teen group and also a big college and career group. But as the years passed, we noticed that many of our friends had just stopped coming. There wasn't any big fuss. The teen group and the college group were large enough to absorb the loss. But you wondered. One day, I think it was on a campout, Tom said that he was through with God, through with religion, and through with the church. And he did follow through. I just don't believe in apple pie in the sky by and by anymore, he said. All this happened over 55 years ago. Does it sound familiar today? How? Why? Why did Tom, of all people, choose to cease his hope in God? And why did I stay? Tom was from a Christian family. He was bright. He graduated with a doctor in mathematics at the age of 23. Tom believed in a life of service. His father was the volunteer chairman of Operation Eyesight International. He was also the main commissioner for scouts in Calgary. His mother was active in the WMS. Our backgrounds were similar. My father had done similar things, and my mother too. Our experiences were similar. Why did he go? And I stayed. Why did he lose the hope and I did not? Apple pie in the sky by and by. Apple pie in the sky by and by. Ever since that day, this phrase has been burned into my mind. Well, is this the hope that young people like Tom are seeking? Apple pie in the sky by and by. It sounds so delicious, so compelling, so wonderful. So what's wrong? Well, perhaps there's a clue in the thoughts of Tom Wright, the great English theologian. In his book, Surprised by Hope, he writes, "Many of you were brought up to think of God as a bearded old gentleman sitting on a cloud. As a bearded old gentleman, and decided that when you stopped believing in such a being, you had therefore to stop believing in God. Many of you who were taught to think of hell as a literal underground place with worms and fire decided when they stopped believing in that, they stopped believing in hell. The first group decided that because they didn't believe in childish images of God, they must be atheists. The second decided because they couldn't believe in childish images of hell, they must be universalists. So there lies the problem. Have we, the committed, lost the joy and perhaps been unable or unwilling to share the joy that we have found in the hope that is Jesus? Or have we been trying to spoon-feed people with a childish image of our wonderful hope? It is in this hope in God that we must shout for joy. Christ is risen. Christ assumed our sins. We have eternal life. The father of our church is John Calvin. Now, when you listen to John Calvin, it is sometimes quite hard to understand him because he writes in such long sentences and with such big words. But let me try. If faith is a firm persuasion of the truth of God, a persuasion that can never be false, never deceive, never be in vain, those who have received this assurance must at the same time expect that God will perform his promises. Wherever this living faith exists, it must have hope of eternal life as its inseparable companion. Or rather, it must of itself beget and manifest hope in eternal life. Where hope is wanting, however clearly and elegantly we discourse on the faith, it is certain that we don't have it. Let me say that again. When hope is wanting, however clearly and elegant we discourse on faith, it is certain that we don't have it. As a church, we are hoping to run an Alpha program this coming year. Alpha, a beginning. I took part in an Alpha program many years ago. It was a joy of fellowship, sharing, and understanding the hope for God and the hope in God. I ask you, is God calling you or quietly encouraging you to get involved? If perhaps yes, then give it a shot and bring a friend. If we can communicate this joy in God, this hope in Jesus, then perhaps people will return and bring their friends with them. This morning, Keith read to you a poem in Isaiah 40. To close today, I'd like to reread it. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, you may be, my way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired and weary. His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary, and they will walk and not faint."